Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
It's time for another Cover Your Assets KC podcast. Walter Storholt here alongside David Dickens. And on today's show, we're building a house. More on that in a moment. Let me first tell you about David in case you're a new listener. He's the president and wealth advisor at KC Financial Advisors, serving you throughout Kansas City with an office in Overland Park. And you can find more episodes, more information about David, how to subscribe, lots of great info, all at CoverYourAssetsKC.com. David, I have been doing more and more projects, not only in the house, but we've started to move to things outside the home as we continue our kind of home renovations and improvements all over the place. And I've been getting a little bit, into the building phase of, you know, my skill set. I'm starting to develop it. I still aren't and not very good at any of this, but it's starting a little bit. So I disassembled a ramp, a handicap ramp in the front of our home, and then I rebuilt a smaller ramp from that same wood for our utility shed. And then I'm also repurposing that wood to build a little like a little barrier or a little fence around our pool equipment. And so, you know, kind of repurposing things, you know, kind of figuring out, okay, put this together here, raise this up off the ground. And even this little fence project I'm doing, I'm thinking about foundation and I'm building walls, obviously. I'm trying to decide whether to put a little bit of a roof on top of it to try and kind of capture in some noise and prevent some of the weather and elements from getting in on the pool equipment. So it inspired today's show to not only build, I'm not building a house, but we'll pretend I'm building a very mini house with that fence project. But on today's show, we're going to build a financial house and talk about how there are a lot of similarities between the building world and the financial world. So this should be a lot of fun, I think.
I'm looking forward to it. I love the analogy. And so I think hopefully what we talk about here will make a ton of sense visually to our listeners. So I say we get after it.
Out of curiosity, are you handy? Do you have you ever built anything resembling a house before or even a mini version of it?
Well, I've redone a basement that was just cement walls when I started. And when we were young marrieds, we actually bought a couple of rental properties. So I'm a pretty decent plumber and a pretty decent electrician. I'm a horrible sheetrock sander. But, you know, you kind of get handy with the things you're good at and you hire professionals to do the stuff you're not very good at.
That is definitely true. Absolutely. Yes. I hire away the things that'll kill me, like electricity and plumbing. I have definitely, I don't want to mess. I know how destructive water can be, so I try not to mess too much. If it's in the walls, I don't want to touch it. If it's outside the wall, okay, I'll mess around with it. That's my rule. If it's in the wall, I hire somebody. If it's out of the wall, I'll work with it first, see what I can do.
But you got to know your limitations.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, so here we go. So for some people, David, you know, the idea of building a house is very daunting. And unfortunately, it's the same way with the financial plan. A lot of people think that building a financial plan doesn't sound like much fun. It might be really hard. And so we try to reconcile these two different things. So I want to find some similarities between these two, because I think we all, even if you can't put the hammer in your hands and go build the home, we can all easily understand how you build a strong home. And we want to do the same thing. We want to build a strong financial house as well. So let's talk about where it all begins. Before we put up all the pretty and the cool stuff, we've got to start with the foundation. What is the foundation in the financial world?
Yeah, so the foundation is really your income plan. So if you find yourself as a young person, this isn't just your retirement house. This is your financial house. So it's the same whether you are, there are similarities as to whether you're younger or older. So the foundation is really the income plan. And so when you're young, if you don't have income, you have difficulties making things work. If you're retired, the one thing you want to make sure you never run out of is income. And so when you walk away from that paycheck at work, you have to have a plan that says, I know how I'm going to get paid until my last day on this earth. And if you happen to be married, then you want to make sure that both of you have enough income to go the distance. So a couple of examples. I have one client, actually a couple that fit this exact situation, but this particular guy has a pension and Social Security, and his wife has Social Security. He is in his late 60s, and he has never touched his IRA rollover. In other words, his lifestyle is totally covered, except for big extras. His lifestyle is totally covered by his pension and two Social Securities. That's an awesome income plan for him. I have another client, actually several, that look just like this. The vast majority of their money is in IRA rollovers. He had a pension, but he took it out as a lump sum and rolled it into an IRA. So his IRA is actually pretty large. And then what he does is, instead of having a pension check come to his house every month, he decides how much to distribute to himself as he needs it. The flexibility he's built in is that he chose to wait until age 70 to start Social Security. So that's how you max out your Social Security payment. So what he's doing is distributing more out of his IRA rollover, his pension rollover, to himself now. But once he gets to be 70, he's going to reduce that. The reason I bring both of those up is those two income plans are way different from each other, but both of them are going to work out perfectly great for those individuals. The key was that each of them had an income plan, a foundation for their retirement that fit the assets that they had and the type of lifestyle that they wanted to have in retirement. Given enough time, given enough planning, you can build just about anything you want, but it has to start with a good income plan.
I love it. That's the foundation. We've got to make sure that it is strong. Otherwise, the rest of it doesn't really matter. You can have great insurance, David, but if you've got no income coming in, you're in big trouble. And so that's what we got to make sure that we have set up in advance, is that foundation. Then we can build everything from there. Great next example. The foundation leads to the formation of the walls. The house starts to take shape a little bit. What helps us take shape when we move over into the financial realm?
Yeah, so the walls are basically your investments or your investment plan. So nobody wants, I mean, if you just have a foundation, well, that's kind of a lot like camping. And while camping is fun, every now and then, it's not something I want to do for the rest of my life. So the walls of your financial house are going to be your investments. You may have enough, like in the first example, the gentleman that has pension and Social Security, well, those aren't really growing with inflation. So as he wants to give himself a raise in the future, well, that can be based on his stocks or his bonds or his mutual funds or maybe some fixed annuities or some CDs. So having those investments to complement the income that you have set up is super important. The difficult part is making sure that you're not overly exposed to stocks. And then a 35% drop comes along in 4 weeks, just like it did a couple of months ago. When that happens and your walls of your retirement house start shaking because the market's having difficulty, that can cause you to do silly things with your money, like panic and sell at wrong times because you were overexposed. So the first thing is having the investments. The second thing is structuring them correctly based on who you are, what your risk tolerance is, and the goals you have over your 15 or 25 or 30 years of retirement.
I like it. I like the income plan is the start, then the investment plan comes next. Now, I might have jumped a little bit ahead when I started talking about other elements. We get to the roof, the next part of our financial house, once we get the foundation and the walls in place. Well, now we can put the roof on. There's a reason the roof can't come before the walls, because there's nothing to hold the roof up. So that's why it has to wait until the next thing to get assembled. Similar to the financial equivalent, perhaps?
Yeah. So I think a roof, your financial roof, is a lot of your insurance protections that you can get. And so you don't want a big rainstorm or a big snowstorm to ruin your retirement. And so having a nice roof over your investment house, those would be the insurance protections you have. So I can think of a couple of different client situations that would, I think, draw a nice picture of that. I have a couple of different couples who, the spouse who was getting a pension, that spouse, it was once a female, once a male, they decided to take it with a zero death benefit to their spouse. In other words, they're going to take the most money available, but if they die a week, a month, a year, 6 years after they start, that money goes away to zero. But what they did was they purchased a life insurance policy on themselves so that if they did die early in retirement, their spouse got a nice big tax-free lump sum of money that then they would use to replenish the income that was lost because of the pension going away. I have another client, I can think of at least one that's like this, where they're in a second marriage. And when they die, half of their assets goes to their new spouse, but the other half goes to their kids. And so in that case, the new spouse in the second marriage has a life insurance policy on that new spouse, happens to be the man. And so once were he to die early, she would get, again, a tax-free life insurance payout that would help supplement her income, the lifestyle that they had built together. And half of his assets then still go to his kids upon his death. So that's kind of the loss of the premature loss of a spouse. There are also ways to use life insurance protections for long-term care expenses. So I have some of my clients are super worried about long-term care expenses. I have clients that could not care less. So that's a personal decision by each listener, by each client. But for instance, I have a client who we got them a life insurance policy because it has an accelerated death benefit. They're paying premiums, a fixed premium for the rest of his life in this particular case. And if he gets into trouble healthcare-wise and he can qualify for long-term care benefits, this life insurance company will pay the death benefit out over approximately 4 years while he needs long-term care. If he doesn't use up all the 4 years, well, then she will get the remaining death benefit once he's gone. I have another set of clients who used a particular type of fixed indexed annuity that has what's called a home health care doubler. And what it does is double the income that they get from that annuity if one of them, either one of them, can't do, if they qualify for long-term care. What I was going to say is if they can't do two of the six activities of daily living. That phrase is super important if you're trying to qualify for long-term care, but I'm not going to unpack that right now. Then the third type of insurance I can think of is something that my wife and I have because we own rental properties. And so we have an umbrella policy, a liability umbrella policy. So if someone gets hurt on our property and they're uninsured, or if someone gets hurt at a rental property, we have insurance to cover that. So those are three of the ways that I can think that you would want a nice solid roof over your financial house, whether you're retired or whether you're still working toward retirement. Those things can all come in super handy to make sure that your financial house is in order.
Very, very helpful. We have the foundation, the walls, the roof, and then the fun part, the finishing touches. David, we get to go inside and do all the, you know, pick out the couches and go to the furniture store, buy all those kinds of things and have fun, the last little piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, that's where it gets really expensive.
That's right. Yes,
if it's actually your real house.
Picking the countertops, the cabinets, all those kinds of things, right?
All the bells and whistles and electronics these days. Oh my gosh. Those home builders have found so many new ways to get money out of our pockets. But in this case, the finishing touches for a financial house, I think, would be the things that go around estate planning. Now, what I don't necessarily mean is that you've got to get a trust that's super complicated. Frankly, most people, I can say this with confidence, most people in America do not need a trust. But they do need to determine who gets what when they're gone. So you can get a long way toward that end by making sure that you have really good beneficiary designations on your IRAs, on your bank accounts, on your cars, and on your home. Now, we've done a prior podcast about how to avoid probate. And the best way to avoid probate is to have beneficiary designations on your bank accounts, your home, and your autos. So those are part of your estate plan. They're not very sexy. It's not a cool, expensive trust that's going to direct stuff from the grave. It's just really important stuff for your beneficiaries to make sure that your assets go where you want them to go. A third one for estate planning, this is not a high net worth strategy. This is for everybody. You need to have powers of attorney in place. financial powers of attorney and healthcare powers of attorney, so that if you can't speak for yourself, someone you trust can. Now, that's probably, it might be your spouse. It could be an elder child. It could be your brother or your sister. That depends on you and your family situation. But having a power of attorney designated before you need one is super important. And then, Walter, the only other thing that I can think of estate planning wise would be having a living will or a health care directive. And why that's super important is because that tells, if I'm not able to speak for myself and it's an end of life issue, I would like my wishes to be what is followed and not necessarily the emotional people who are watching me struggle. And so a perfect example of this is a young fellow that I knew, and he ended up in one of these situations. And before he got to the point where he couldn't talk for himself, he signed a healthcare directive, basically saying, if I can't survive without machines, do not turn them on. So the day came where he was in that situation and couldn't speak for himself, and a lot of family members are around the table, the bed, and nobody had to make the decision, oh my gosh, what do we do? Because he had already decided, here's what I want. And that was a blessing for all of his family members to know that nobody had to decide, that he had decided for himself. So estate planning is a term that we tend to think of for really rich people. But if you're married and you have kids, you need an estate plan. Because if you and your wife get hit by a bus on the way home and your kids are left alone, you don't want the state determining what happens to them. There are all kinds of situations. But when you're listening to this podcast and you're in your 30s and you got kids, you're in your 50s and you're thinking, I'm going to live another 30 years. I'll worry about it later. There are some simple, simple things you can do to make your financial house complete by just taking care of a few simple estate planning steps. Who gets what? Making sure you have good beneficiary designations, making sure you have powers of attorney in place and findable by the people who love you, and then hopefully a living will or a healthcare directive. And that will get you a long way to completing your financial house.
It is a really nice little way to think about planning for retirement and your financial future. Think of it in those four steps, building a house. Maybe that helps you visualize it a little bit. You need the foundation, you need the walls, you need the roof, and then time to put the finishing touches on the plan. What that equates to, again, in the financial house, just to wrap up, the income plan is the foundation. Your investment plan creates the walls and adds support to the plan. You have the insurance, the roof over your head, if you will, with insurance protections. And then the estate plan is part of the extra stuff that comes along later as we get into the details of the plan. But you got to make sure all those other things get taken care of first before you get to that step. And if you need help building your own financial health, David Dickens is always there for you to do so. If you want to get in touch, you can do that by calling 913-317-1414. That's 913-317-1414. Or go online to coveryourassetskc.com. That's coveryourassetskc.com. And you can get in touch with David right there from the website. And we'll put contact info in the description of today's show so it's easy for you to find and get in touch. Thanks for being with us, David, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Walter. I'll look forward to it as well.
It will be fun. That's David Dickens. I'm Walter Storholt. We'll talk to you next time on the Cover Your Assets KC podcast. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.